thought that song was going to be longer. I was hoping. Pastor missed an announcement because it didn't make it to the bulletin, and that's perfectly fine because it's actually better for me to do it from here. Starting on Wednesday, for this Wednesday and the following two, for the next three Wednesdays, Kay and I, mostly me, will be conducting a public speaking class here from 6 to 8. And that came about, well, we're calling it public sharing. That came about because in May, I signed us up for a public speaking class. I told Kay, if I have to do it, so do you. She kicked and screamed, and she went anyway. And I think it was really good for both of us. And one night, after class, went to bed, and I was starting to drift off to sleep, and I had this image of me standing here teaching a class. And I opened my eyes and looked at the ceiling and said, "Really, God? You really want me to teach a class?" I don't know. So it's been a few months. It was supposed to happen sooner, but life happens. So first part of November, we'll be here Wednesdays. Recently, we had occasion to take a road trip. Went to California to All Nations Gathering. And I've really, really come to enjoy the time that Kay and I get to spend together in the car. Lots of people don't like road trips. They get tired and cranky. They get sore. They don't like the people they're with. You can only talk so much. Somebody else is in charge of the music. We don't have any of those problems. Amen. 9 times out of 10, we're reading a book together. So Kay will drive and I'll read. Sometimes we'll plug in the iPod. And the best times happen in the silence when there's nothing going on. And we have time to listen to God and listen to each other. We have those long, meaningful talks. And they usually happen right when we're nearing St. George. Kay was driving, I was looking around, and I thought, I remember being here before. And it was time to start sharing. So I started sharing things that I'd been hearing. And I told Kay, "You know, I've been noticing some things. I've been hearing." But it wasn't until I said it to her that I realized God's been showing me something. It's really kind of funny to be doing this now because my hearing's not quite up to par. I've had this cold going on, so my ears have been kind of plugged and I'm not hearing as well as I normally do. But I'm still hearing those things I'm supposed to hear. God's pointing out some words to me, stuff we hear in the world, just things in general. We're hearing the world all the time, on TV, at work, in public, even at home and in church. But what are we hearing? We're hearing things like, help me out here. What are we hearing? "Oh, you're killing me." Well, no, nobody's really killing me. "Oh, come check this out. You're going to die." No, you're not really going to die from checking this out. What other things do we hear out in the world?
"I hate this."
There we go.
"I'm sick and tired."
Sick and tired of being sick and tired. Yes. We hear all these. We're getting blasted all the time by all this negativity. Kay said something this morning. She said, because we were talking about this, she said, "I'm ugly." It's like, well, no, but if you start saying things like that, that's what you start believing. And that's the point here. We need to be careful what's coming out of our mouths. More importantly, what are we saying? How are we representing God? What are we saying to the people who are outside these doors? In Matthew 12, 34 and 35, Jesus says, Whatever is in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What are we storing in our hearts? Amen. What are we allowing to enter? What are we watching at the movies, on TV? What kind of music are we listening to? What kind of video games do we play? What are we reading? A long time ago, about 6 years ago, I used to read a lot of Stephen King, Dean Koontz, all that dark and dreary stuff. Loved it. Grew up on it. My mom read. I started reading those books when I was 9 years old because they were around the house. Didn't think anything of it. It was normal. It was natural. My mom liked scary movies. Took me to see Friday the 13th when I was just little. Told me to cover my eyes, so, you know, I did it this way. Where I could peek out between my fingers because that's what kids do. And that's how I grew up. It was normal. That was life. But since we started coming to church, there's been a change. A slow, gradual change. I don't go out of my way to buy Stephen King. I don't read any more Dean Koontz. I don't hang around. I don't dabble in the dark things anymore. I don't watch scary movies. Well, if they come on TV, it's no big deal. You know, edited for a TV version, I'm okay with that. But I don't go to the movies to pay for those things. And that's just me. And that's something that God has been working on me with. And it's taken time. It's taken 6 years to get to a place where I remember when, and it was fun and exciting, and because it was scary and all the possibilities. As we've been coming to church and as we learn more about the Bible and what's out there in the world, there are a lot of possibilities. And the people who make those movies, that comes from somewhere. There's some kind of influence to cause that.
That's right,
amen. And I don't want to be part of that anymore. And that works for me. I know my heart has changed. Not drastically overnight, but with time. I heard someone say, talking about changing things in your life, if it took you 30 years to get into a mess, it's going to take you time to get out.
Amen.
So if you're waiting for God to change you, keep waiting. Don't give up on Him. It is a work in progress.
Amen.
We are always a work in progress. While God is working on us, we need to practice some self-control. Pastor talked last week about self-control. And I purposely didn't give Chris these scriptures. But if you'll open a Bible. So Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 tell us that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control.
Gentleness.
I don't have them. I'm running off of memory here. Thank you. I actually carry them in my pocket so that when I'm struggling, I can pull it out and give myself a reminder. But right there at the end, there's self-control. Also, if you look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible tells us in a different translation, God did not give us a spirit of fear,
Amen.
But one of
love,
power, and self-control. So that's part of us. We all have self-control. It's part of who we are. It's on the inside. Sometimes we just have to dig for it. But it's in there. We need to watch what we're saying. Words themselves have some powerful creativity. Genesis teaches us that God created the heavens and the earth. How did He do it? If we look at Genesis 1:3, the NIV, then God said, Let there be light. And there was light. The message says it a little bit differently. God spoke light, and light appeared. God's words were awfully powerful.
Amen.
He was able to speak and see results. Do you think you have that kind of creative power in your words?
Yes.
The Bible says you do. Proverbs 18:21 tells us, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. The study note in my Bible said, the wise speak thoughtfully because they know what we say has consequences. I've learned that when I'm not spending enough time with God, the world gets really enticing. And it's really easy to slip and fall. And it's easy to start fitting in with the crowd and start repeating the things that you're hearing. But as Christians, what we're called to do is stand out.
Amen.
We're called to be different. As believers, it's our job to help bring others into a relationship with God. How do we do that? With our words and with our actions. God created us. He knew who we were. He knew us in the womb. He has a plan and a purpose for each of us. We get to be the people that God created us to be.
Amen.
We get to remember whose we are. We get to share the reason for our joy and our triumphs. One conversation at a time. And if in those conversations we help move someone just a little bit closer in their relationship to God, it's been a successful conversation.
Amen.
We've done well. We learn more lessons from Proverbs. 16:23 tells us, from a wise mind comes wise speech. The words of the wise are persuasive. We need to think. We need to take a minute before we say things sometimes. I mean, immediate reaction sometimes is sarcasm and a put down. I know that's mine. And it's at those times I need to remind myself to stop and think about what I'm saying and how it can affect someone I'm talking to or someone within earshot. Because we do have, as we learn, as we grow, as we spend time, wisdom is imparted to us. It just becomes part of who we are. And as Kay and I were talking about the things we were hearing, she said, I've noticed that too. I've noticed people saying things. She said, and then I keep thinking, I need to be careful what I say, and blah, there it comes. It just falls out anyway. We are definitely still human.
Amen.
Proverbs 16:24 tells us, kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy to the body. So if we remember to speak kind and encouraging words, we are going to uplift the people around us. We're going to give them something different to look at. We're going to give them a piece of who we are, going to show them who God is and can be. Not by condemning, not by calling them down, not by telling them that they're wrong, definitely not by telling them they're going to hell. It always surprises me when I'm flipping channels at home and there's some evangelist out in the street telling people, do you know that you've sinned? Do you know what that means? I think, I wouldn't want to meet up with those people. That's definitely not the message I want to hear. You're not going to scare me into a relationship with God. You're going to scare me away from one.
Amen.
So as we get back outside of these church doors, we need to remember that we're called to a higher standard. We should be examples. We should be encouragers. We should be listeners. We should be making a difference everywhere we go. On your bulletin, there's a scripture. I say we practice bringing it to life. I have the New Living Translation here. It says, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer."
Amen.
Let's go out and make our daddy happy.
Amen.
Because sometimes we are the only Jesus people see. Pastor said it before, it's true. So we should go out there and we should be Jesus with clothes on. We should show people what it's like to be loved for who they are, right where they are, with no strings attached. We need to speak to them clearly and understandably in plain, simple language, no Christianese. What's even funnier is one of the guys at the conference we went to, the gathering in California, has written a booklet, and it is called No More Christianese. So he introduces it by saying that as we're in church, as we're part of a church body, we pick up church language. But when we go out and we talk to people outside of the church, they don't necessarily know what that means. And it sounds like a different language to them. Are there any good examples? Conversion, kind of a big hairy word. What it means in regular simple terms is a complete spiritual overhaul. When someone decides to follow Jesus, it may be said that they have converted. Demons, in regular language, are negative forces, something negatively influencing your life. Pearly gates are the gates of heaven. Scriptures refers to the Bible. Sometimes we make things too complicated. So we should slow down, speak clearly, understandably, speak the language people understand.
Amen.
Without sliding all the way into the worldly stuff. It's an interesting balance.
Amen.
So let's go out there, show what Christ has done in us, give them hope, and be the light of the world. Because that's who we're called to be. Will you go with me in prayer? Thank you, Lord, for the time we've had to be here. Thank you for the message. Thank you for pointing out the words that I've been hearing, that Kay's been hearing, the words that are out there. Thank you, Lord, that we have the self-control to overcome, that we don't have to do what everybody else is doing to fit in, that we're your kids. You love us where we are, and when we stumble and fall, that's okay. We just get to pick ourselves back up. You get to brush us off, and off we go again to do your work. Thank you, Father God, that you love us right where we are. You love us so much, it overflows so that we can love those around us. Help them see what a kind and loving and generous Father you are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.